Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is Voice of Christian Israel for November 25th, 2018. I just called Pastor Martins in South Africa. I had a contact by his cell phone. Unfortunately, Skype did a quote-unquote upgrade down in South Africa and messed up all his settings, and he is not able to do the show today. And there was just too much noise on the background on the cell phone. So I told him, well, I'll start this series solo, and we'll pick it up next week. Hopefully his Skype issues will be resolved by then. And the series that we're going to do is on Senior Van Rensburg. That's how the South Africans or the Boer people refer to him, Senior Van Rensburg. In English, it's Seer Van Rensburg, as in visionary, a prophet, a person who could look into the future and predict the future. And many of his prophecies did come true. As far as I can recall, his record is nearly perfect, but people's prophecies are always subject to interpretation. So we do the best we can to interpret a prophecy, like we do the best we can to interpret the book of Revelation. Obviously, we in identity understand Revelation much better than any other denomination. They're pretty much clueless because they mistake the Jews for Israel, so they can't understand the Bible, let alone the book of Revelation. So Caucasian 78 says, that's too bad. I always like Pastor Martins. Yeah, me too. Especially with dealing with issues of South Africa. He has clarified things for me and for listeners of Eurofolk Radio beyond any expectation of the kind of information he provides is just not available anywhere else. Okay, because he's in the thick of it down there. And reporting the true facts as opposed to the mainstream nonsense that is called news, okay? So, before I get into the Senior Van Rensburg prophecies, last week we talked about the Night of the Long Knives, which is called Uhuru by the blacks of South Africa, which is essentially a threat by the blacks of South Africa to murder all white Africans, okay? Unlike the Night of the Long Knives by the Nazis, which was to purge homosexuals from the ranks of the white nationalist party of Germany in those days, this Uhuru is a threat to murder all white South Africans and probably all others as well. Uhuru is the term for it. Now, I'm going to quote quickly from a post that was done back in 2009, and this is from AboveTopSecret.com. In fact, I'll put this link into the chat room. AboveTopSecret.com. It's been a while since I've accessed this website. It's usually pretty good. And it quotes a South African who was trying to make a plea to the government, a Boer, who was trying to make a plea to the government to stop the anti-white violence by blacks. Okay. On April 27th, a list with 10 grievances was to be handed to the police for handing to the president's office. It was a peaceful protest by a couple of concerned Boer folk whose freedom and rights are being infringed upon. Okay, so this is 2008. It was 14 years after the institution of black rule in South Africa. The list was handed over outside to the old Raadsaal in Pretoria. I mean, that Raadsaal would be their government headquarters. A very small group of black people in the area looked on. By the end of our song, Die Stem, the crowd started to grow rapidly. So there was two white Boers, and they were being watched by blacks, but the black crowd started to grow rapidly. Then They were chanting and singing Umkhonto We Sizwe songs, ex-terrorist military wing of the ANC. So they were singing communist songs. They were chanting that our time was running out. That is the time of the white man. They were tapping their watches. Tap, 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 tap. Time running out. They were swinging their arms in the chopping of the axe. Soon, 10 to 15 minutes, the crowd had grown to over 1,000 black people. The police asked us to leave peacefully as they could not control the crowd. Audio on video. We left peacefully without ever threatening them or acting aggressively. A lot of typos in this article. We have the evidence on video, yet the media made us look like the monsters. What have we been telling you, folks? It is the mass media that tells lies about what's going on in South Africa. Again, always causing the blame to fall on whites, when in fact it is the enemies of white people who are committing all the violent acts. And as the quote we had earlier on the Bloodline show from Ken Gregg, you don't see white nationalists being prosecuted for violent crimes. It's not white nationalists committing violent crimes in black ghettos. It's blacks. Okay? So why is the white man constantly being accused of being evil when all the violence is occurring in non-white neighborhoods? Okay, I mean, I guess that's too obvious to understand. They don't understand the logic of what we're trying to say, folks. So we are not guilty. And because the false accuser constantly accuses us, everyone else thinks we're guilty, but they know. They really know. Okay, so I'm going to quote now here from twobombs.tripod.com/vanrensburg.html. I think I put the link in the chat room. Yes, there it is. Okay. And here's what this article has to say. Now, this is about this website is dealing with the prophecies of Senior Van Rensburg and takes them in a pretty decent order here. The end of days, according to farmer prophet Senior Van Rensburg, 1860 to 1927. There we see right away that he can't be Jewish because he's a farmer. Brief information concerning Mr. Senior Van Rensburg. Mr. Van Rensburg was born in the 19th century. In the northern part of South Africa in a farmer's family, and has been known by the local religious community and nationwide as a very devout man and an instrument of God. During his life, he has had more than 100 dreams and visions. Almost all of them were written down by his daughter, creating one of the most insightful documents revealing the life of a prophet used by God. Mr. Van Rensburg has been known as a very humble man, reading only his Bible, no newspapers, and an interesting detail was also that he was not able to write. Very interesting, but he was able to read the Bible. I can't begin to summarize or translate all the work that is available in Afrikaans. It would take me years to compile and translate, as almost all of the information I currently have on the man is in printed form, and not digital, so a translation machine could not do anything with it. As the content of the dream prophecies of Mr. Van Rensburg also deal with world events, it would be interesting to translate those to English, if only it were for second opinion confirmation as it is written. Obviously, outsiders would have more insight and knowledge of international events. Right now, basically what the author is saying is that, well, we only have the perspective of a South African. Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Well, Brett Kavanaugh, there wasn't even one actual witness. because the so-called witness couldn't remember the time, the place, the address. She basically, you know, made false accusations against the man. And liberals say, oh, he's guilty. He's guilty. She says he's guilty. He must be guilty. Folks, you realize this is the law of ignoramuses that we're dealing with here. Only the Bible provides the true law, the only law that works. And as long as we Israelites obey his law, there is hope. On the question as to why so less, if anything, has been released, I can say that Mr. Van Rensburg's writings were, slash, are, primarily intended for the Afrikaner Boer volk, and secondary for the inhabitants of South Africa. So the author makes the proper distinction, which, of course, Pastor Martens has been telling us that we must make a distinction between the Boer volk and the other Afrikaners, who are primarily the descendants of the Cape Dutch, the vast bulk of whom are in fact Jewish or adherents to the Jewish trading company, the East India Trading Company, the Dutch East India Trading Company, which settled in South Africa around the same time as the Boer folk. So, but we must distinguish these two groups of people. They are culturally diverse, and as we find out, since the Jews ran the Dutch East India Company, these Jews were the ones who were the, how should I put it? Well, the traders, the Canaanites, the traffickers in goods, legitimate good and illicit goods as well. And a lot of what the Cape Dutch provoked and are guilty of is blamed on the Boer folk mistakenly. But let's continue. So he makes the proper distinction between Afrikaners and Boer folk. And so the writings are primarily for the Boer folk, and then only secondarily for the inhabitants of South Africa and its neighboring or originating countries, such as the Netherlands and Germany. But as Pastor Martens has pointed out many times, these are primarily Germans of Ferez Judah stock, and they recognize their Israelite stock in their own writings, so that they're totally consistent with Christian identity on that score. And these prophecies are intended for the awakening and for the warning of the Boer folk in the South African countries. Okay, so on the and then the Netherlands is that is the Dutch are included only as the fact that they had the ships, and that's where the ships departed from. As a matter of fact, the Boer volk are descended from the Germans who were on those ships, not from the Dutch who owned the ships. Continuing, one of the other reasons is that the bulk of this information came to be in the Anglo-Boer War that until this day has produced an anti-English sentiment in the Afrikaner camp. Well, that's very interesting, since the Afrikaners are the, how should I put it, were unified with the British. So this whole thing has to be a ruse, or local sentiment was anti-English. But if anything, the Afrikaners have always been the partners with the British Jews, the Dutch Jews and the British Jews, working together against the Boer people. In short, some key dream the man had come down to this. South Africa, 1960 to 1994. The South African government loses more and more a grip on situations and circumstances because they forgot their Lord and God. This is the interpretation of Mr. Van Rensburg's insights, because they would forget. So he's saying that the South African people, or the Boer people, this is primarily addressed to the Boer people, that they would forget Yahweh, who gave him that country in the first place. For example, daily opening prayer in Parliament was abolished in 1972 for the sake of Muslims and Hindus. Do you see similar things happening here in America? Christianity is being oppressed, while Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and every other religion is being promoted in total contradiction of the First Amendment, without any objection from the ACLU? 1994. Mr. Van Rensburg correctly prophesied the release of Mr. Mandela, its political ties, namely communism, and the false and violent peace that the man and its party preaches. Yeah, it's terrorism. Terrorism taught as peace. Again, we see that Mr. Orwell predicted this eventuality. 1994 until the death of Nelson Mandela, the era in which the Boer Volk, now here he seems to identify the two, the Boer Volk lose their power in Parliament, and I think the word Afrikaner can be generally applied to white South Africans. However, even Pastor Martins has said that basically the word Afrikaner can be applied to those who speak Afrikaans, which includes blacks, so that's not a racial designator. And since most Afrikaners stem from the Cape Dutch, they're not Boer Volk and they're not white. So let me just, without trying to read in the author's mind, let me just quote it without the word in parentheses. The era in which the Boer Volk, because he even admits that these prophecies are about primarily the Boer Volk, lose their power in Parliament, get persecuted, murdered, and alienated from their origins roots. And that's exactly what has happened, folks. The murder of white South African farmers, most of whom are Boers, has proceeded unimpeded since 1994. South Africa has got with the ANC a 70% party. Therefore, it hardly can be called a democracy. Well, it's a dictatorship. It's a black communist dictatorship. That's what it is. The death of Nelson Mandela to a new and more balanced government. I'm not so sure about that. Right after the death of Nelson Mandela, very big strikes and disobedience occur. They were followed by a local 3 of 7 province civil war for ground and power. For example, Zimbabwe type of actions. Okay, one thing in favor of this interpretation, which Pastor Martins has been personally involved in, is that black separatism, that is, black national self-government groups, have arisen in the wake of the ANC dictatorship. That they're not even there. You know, the various black tribes prefer to have self-rule rather than being ruled over by the ANC. So that's probably the correct interpretation here. Okay, but it has not gotten any better for white people in South Africa. That only proves that the ANC is not representative of the various tribes and various peoples of South Africa. It is, of course, an installed government. An installed government by an occupier. Who's the occupier? The international Jew and the Freemasons. Okay? That's who the occupier is. These actions are, however, short-lived. The revolt is quenched in a border town called Priska, and the people causing the revolt are then scattered. Okay, I'm not familiar with this event, any event in Priska at all, so I will bring this to attention of Pastor Martins next Sunday so he can give us the benefit of his insight here. Mr. Van Rensburg has prophesied that weapons will be transported over a railway line to that town. That railway has been completed last year. Okay, now what year is this? Okay, the date of the article is not given, so I'm not sure exactly what time period we're talking about here. So, but nevertheless, these past prophecies that the Boer people would lose control of their country, that a black president would be elected, and that would spell persecution for whites, all of that has come true. All of that has come true. Again, everybody, and since most of these prophecies, as the author states, were given in Afrikaans, not in English, probably a lot is lost in translation. So, when Pastor Martin's is back with us next Sunday, hopefully that he gets his Skype issues taken care of, that we'll get a better explanation of what's going on here. Okay. During the time of that new government, Yahweh will return and establish his millennial reign on the earth. Well, we told you the time is very close. So this it could be then that the ANC is the last government to reign in South Africa until his return. But also very big trouble will be upon the earth, as we have been telling you, and as those of us in identity know, we don't shrink away from telling you the bad news that civilization on earth as we know it is going to go bye-bye along with the Edomites that run it. And as a result, many European refugees will flee to South Africa. Now, that's very interesting because many white South Africans are fleeing to Europe. But once, apparently, the interpretation here is once this global war starts, then many Europeans will find refuge in South Africa. One of the prophecies I'm aware of, off the top of my head, by Van Rensburg, is that he states that Germany will make a big turnaround and become an ally and supporter of South Africa as it once was at the turn of the previous century. Because Germany was the only friend that the Boer people had. Yes, Germany was the only friend that the Boer people had in those days. The rest of the world made war against the Boer people at that time. Next sentence, the second coming of Yahweh being a Jubilee year, it'll cause the borders of South Africa to extend beyond Zimbabwe and Namibia. Okay, so South Africa, well, this is telling me that it will be a white-ruled nation and that it will encompass Zimbabwe and Namibia. Now, there was a time when Zimbabwe and South Africa were, and actually still are, the breadbasket of Africa. Why? Because white farmers were farming the land, obviously with black help, not slavery help, but paid labor. And no other ethnic minority or ethnic group has ever been able to accomplish what the white farmer has accomplished anywhere in the world. Striking details in his dreams and prophecies are known, and symbols reoccurring in his visions are consistent and can be relatively easily correctly interpreted. Relatively easily, however, again, we don't have the English translations, and those might be suspect. Listeners of Eurofolk Radio realize and understand that even the English Bible is thrice removed from the original languages. Okay, Tyndale was the first one to translate Hebrew directly into English. Pastor Steve has been working on his translation, and it's available for sale. Pastor Steve, Pastor Dash Steve, I believe. I forget the exact website. But anyway, keep listening to your folk radio, and you can order Pastor Steve's direct translation from the Hebrew into English from him, okay, and from Eurofolk Radio. And those are available also at American National Publishing. I'll give you our address. It's American National Publishing, Post Office Box 41, 1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. And I'm not sure what the prices are because his translations of the other parts of the Old Testament are quite thick, and full of notes, so they're not cheap. So $40-$50 for each of those copies, and a complete set of his Old Testament works would be running around $150 plus postage when it's all ready. And he says he's going to have all that ready by the end of this year. So striking details in his dreams and prophecies are known, and symbols reoccurring in his visions are consistent and can be with relatively ease correctly interpreted. The world, especially in England, France, and the USA. America and England will become bankrupt and full of debts. Okay. All right. That was his prophecy. We know that this has totally come true. England will be totally annihilated. Whoa. Even their ground will burn away, as a Russian-led invasion will invade Europe through Turkey and use terrible weapons. There's all kinds of evidence that Russia is developing weapons that far surpass our technological ability. So, if Germany is going to turn against the Rothschilds, I think Germans realize that Angela Merkel is a Jew puppet. That awareness is becoming greater and greater, and the Germans are rebelling against the Rothschild Euro agenda, European Union, which is just another economically form of oppression. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with democracy. European Union is not a democracy. United Nations is not a democracy, let alone a republic. It's an imposition, it's an occupation, using false language to dupe people into thinking that it's somehow representative of people, of individuals, of citizens. No, it's not. It's a total occupation. Okay, so, as a Russian-led invasion will invade Europe through Turkey and use terrible weapons. Now, we know for sure that the international Jew hates Russia with a passion. Why? Because Russia is under Putin, is turning Christian again. Okay, it's turning Christian again. The Russian Orthodox Church is making a great revival. Imagine that. After 70 years of Bolshevik Jew oppression, Christian Russia is making a comeback. Who'd have thunk it? The invasion will be stopped in France by German-American forces. Mr. Van Rensburg actually made a remark that Germany will receive new groundbreaking technology from America and that they, the Germans, will use to defeat the Russian invasion. Okay, so it's a quite, you know, obviously, if this is accurate, if this interpretation is accurate, then France and America would be still under the auspices of the Rothschilds. So, and that's certainly possible because our military has been totally co-opted by the Israelis, by the Zionists, by the Rothschilds and their allies. In both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, they're both Zionists. They're both run by neocons. So, the Jewish fear of Russia is justified because they're not concerned about America. They're not concerned about France or Britain or Germany. They're concerned about themselves and their stranglehold on the economies of these various nations. So, I can see this. I can see that the Rothschilds, because Britain has been basically worn out. Britain is worn out from over 300 years. And Matthew says this fits in with another prophecy that he's aware of. So over 300 years from 1694 of the Jewish creation of the Bank of England and the Bank of England spilling British and other white European blood in their various staged wars. So Britain is worn out. And as we have pointed out from our three-headed prophecy in from the Apocrypha, Second Esdras, one of the three heads being Russia, Britain, and America, one of those three heads will die in its own bed, will die by means of non-military invasion. And what's the, well, you can call it a military invasion, but it's really invasion of so-called refugees. It's not, they don't use military weapons in this invasion until after they arrive. That's when the knives come out and the rapes begin and the store robberies, but they didn't come into England by invading it. They came invited by invitation, not by invasion, thanks to the Rothschilds. Of course, the same thing is happening here in America. It's happening in Germany, but it's no longer, and actually never really did happen in Russia, even under the auspices of the Bolshevik Jews. Okay, and this is Alois Erlmeyer. Alois Erlmeyer. I'll see. We can maybe check her prophecies out as well on a future episode. So, but maybe I'm interpreting it wrong by suggesting that Germany will become an ally of the Boer people. Not to make, you know, we have to get these ethnic distinctions correct of the Boer people. Now, in my opinion, Russia is an ally of the white race. After throwing off the yoke of Jew Bolshevism, Russia has become, in fact, Putin has made many statements publicly that Russia is not a Muslim country and does not accept Islam as a Russian religion, only Christianity, and of course their version of it, which is Orthodox Russian, the Orthodox Russian Church. That's the only religion they will accept. And they're not, they reject multiculturalism. He has actually stated that they reject multiculturalism and that they reject the idea that all religions are equal, only Christianity. Okay? So, given the statements that Putin has made, and these are not given much publicity by the Jew press, because they don't want white people to hear a white leader praising Christianity, this is why the Jews hate Putin with a passion and want a war with Russia. Now, it is possible that Putin might take matters into his own hands, because he can see the hostility of the European Union, which is Jew-controlled, the United Nations, which is Jew-controlled, America and Britain, which are Jew-controlled, and even Germany is still Jew-controlled, might take matters into his own hands and issue a preemptive strike. The Jews have been known to do that constantly, preemptive strikes, even for no reason. But I would say Russia has tremendous reason. You know, the attempt to boycott Russian goods, etc., etc., all of the saber rattling that has gone on, the invasion of the Ukraine by the Jew-European Union, establishing a non-Ukrainian government, Jew-controlled, Jew bankers running that country today. This is what Putin and Russia have had to deal with lately. We're not talking about the Soviet Union. That was controlled by Jews. Okay? And there's no way the Russians want to have another Bolshevik government. No way. Europe is now reeling under Bolshevism, whether they realize it or not. But he says, The USA will be unable to respond in a timely manner because of a severe attack on their troops, ground, and finances, and perhaps a lack of the American people, the will to fight. You know, we're sick of wars. We're sick of fighting in Jewish wars. And maybe the American people will have awakened enough by this time to realize that we don't want to defend Jewish economics using our blood and our sacrifices, losing life and limb so that the Jews can make more profits and rule over us. Mr. Van Rensburg also indicated that the trouble for South Africa will be much shorter lived when compared to other countries, also less troublesome. Now, this is interesting because South Africa, the Boer people, have had their share of trouble. As I have stated many times on this show, the Boer people are the most persecuted people on the face of the earth. They were persecuted when they first set foot in South Africa by the Cape Dutch Afrikaners. And they have had nonstop persecution since then. But nevertheless, the mainstream media has always painted the Boer people as being evil troublemakers when it's the other way around. So let me start this sentence over. Mr. Van Rensburg also indicated that the trouble for South Africa will be much shorter lived when compared to other countries, also less troublesome. Well, that would be the reason why white people would be moving to South Africa. Apparently, all the warfare will be taking place in the Northern Hemisphere. As the Lord will send his power and blessing, causing South Africa to be a safe haven for Christians from all over the world. We can only hope that this prophecy comes true. Sources: Senior Van Rensburg, Adrian Snyman at http://www.senior.co.za. As time and the net itself permits, I'll add some URLs to English translated dreams and interpretations. So lacking our ability to translate these things into English and having to rely on people who have a good knowledge of both Afrikaans and English, which is not always the case, we will have to wait for Pastor Martins to join us and give us his insights into these matters. Okay, so I'm looking at another website here. This is sightlanders.org. And I'll see if I can put this into the chat room. Sightlanders.org. Here we go. Senior Van Rensburg. And let's see what day. So here's a very good photograph of Mr. Van Rensburg. Bearded white man. Nicholas Van Rensburg, who is sometimes known as Senior or Seer, Van Rensburg was a deeply pious man, an Afrikaner, well, a Boer, as we just found out. Again, this confusion between Afrikaners and Boers needs to be done away with, okay, because the Boers are a distinct people from the Afrikaners. In other words, a white man whose forefathers came to Africa from Holland or on Holland ships as strict Calvinists from 1652 onwards. I'm not sure that's true either, that they were strict Calvinists. We'll discuss this more in more detail next Sunday. France, as famously pious Huguenots around about 40 years later, or Germany, predominantly a single men who were ardent Lutherans who had lost their lands, homes, and jobs during the religious wars against the Catholics of the late 17th and early 18th centuries. And yes, that is the proper perspective, that the Boer people who migrated to South Africa were simply freeing the religious wars and the religious persecution that was occurring in Europe. They didn't want to take sides. They just wanted to get away from all of the fighting. These three groups amalgamated within decades into one homogeneous group, the Afrikaners, he says, and no discernible distinction was detectable within a very few generations. Of course, Pastor Martens would disagree with this statement that the Boer people have been a distinct people within and around living within the Afrikaner territory. And in fact, the Orange Free State and Transvaal were strictly Boer republics. Strictly Boer republics. Afrikaners had nothing to do with creating those republics. He continues. More precise. Now, Zuidlanders are the group that are promoting right now separation from the ANC, you know, white separation from the ANC, which is a good thing. And we have interviewed Simon Roche, who is one of the spokesmen of that group. So they don't see the distinction between Boers and Afrikaners as clearly as Pastor Martens does. In any case, white people separating and liberating themselves from black rule is a very admirable goal. Continuing. More precisely, Nicholas van Rensburg was what is known as a Boer, literally farmer, but also the Boers were Germans and some Huguenots and perhaps some Dutch, non-Jewish Dutch, because Jews don't farm, which is the appellation which Afrikaners give to those of them who are conservative or farmers, right? And the Boers are the most conservative. For your reader's benefit, I must note that this distinction is taken very seriously amongst patriotic Christian Afrikaners, okay? Well, I think we must understand that the Boer people are German farmers primarily. They're not Dutch. You can add a sprinkling of Huguenots in there. There's a lot of France and what is today France and Germany is disputed territory between the French and the Germans, such as Alsace-Lorraine and others. But they're white. They're white Christian countries, always have been. And there's still a lot of white Christians in these areas. So it's white Christians, not Cape Dutch Jews. Van Rensburg means of Rennstown, possibly from the root Rhenish, like the towns of the Rhine River. Like all older males in Afrikaner culture, he was called or uncle. To have called him by his names or even Mr. would have been, and often still is, regarded as nothing less than gross insolence. So that's according to their tradition. The word Mr. does not have any negative connotation unless your mother calls you Mr. Okay. He was a dirt poor farmer, mostly of sheep, but like many farmers of the time, he had something of everything. As recorded by contemporary commentators, he would not read a single word which is not on the pages of the Bible. He averted his eyes from all written words except biblical. He had precisely 20 days of schooling and was taught to read by his mother. She called him Mr. From a young age, he was described as different, and later in life, people remarked upon his unusual eyes. He was average to small in build and had a timid demeanor. He was thoroughly proper and respectable, as you might expect, but people often observed that he didn't pay much attention to his outward appearance. He was a hermit. Now, here's where it gets tricky. In order to avoid a long treatise, I am going to have to leave out some information which some might regard as vital to the story. Nicholas van Rensburg had something over 700 visions, of which over 400 have come true. Some were delivered quite plainly, whereas others are allegorical and almost unintelligible to mere mortals. Do you know the story of Josephus and Christ's prophecy that not one stone of the Jewish temple at Jerusalem would be left on top of another? Yeah, we'll be starting a show on Josephus next weekend on Bloodlines. In 70 AD, a man called Josephus witnessed how the Roman general who was besieging the city of Jerusalem, that is Titus, commanded his soldiers upon pain of death not to damage the temple. Regardless, one rogue soldier tossed a faggot, not a homosexual, Andy says, check the surname. All right. Yeah. Well, folks, that's an unrelated subject. But a faggot is a bundle of sticks tied together with string. A fascisti. Okay. Which set a cedar beam on fire, which eventually led to the gilding in the temple melting and dripping onto the floor and into the cracks between the stones. So Titus tried to avoid it, but a soldier tossed a faggot and started the big fire. In order to recover that terrific amount of gold, every last stone was lifted and removed. Christ's temple prophecy was realized in an unambiguous way. Try saying that three times. In an unambiguous terms. By contrast, you don't need me to tell you that other biblical prophecies are very, very difficult to understand. My point is, likewise, the prophecies of Senior Van Rensburg, let us chat about a small sample of the easy ones. Okay? We'll try the more difficult ones later. Where to begin? The world is blissfully unaware that the modern concentration camp was not invented by the Nazis, but by the British, who interred Boer women and children to break the spirit of the minuscule, indomitable force of Boers in the Second War of Freedom, a.k.a. the Anglo-Boer War of 1889 to 1902. In Precis, what transpired was this. The Afrikaners established republics, that is, the Boer people, established republics. Those were Boer republics, folks. Gold and diamonds were discovered. The British promptly annexed the republics. The Boers fought back with 88,000 men. The British deployed an unacknowledged minimum of precisely 450,000 men from different countries, America, Australia, and wherever they could drag India. They dragged people from all over the world into that fight to fight against the Boers. But they were given a hiding, so they burnt down every last Boer farm and placed the women and children and some servants in concentration camps, which were later exposed to have killed over 20,000 women and children. Indeed, recent archaeological and DNA evidence has demonstrated that at least 34,000 of these Caucasian Christian mothers and children, excluding servants, were murdered by the Crown of Great Britain for gold and diamonds. That is, by the Rothschild-controlled Crown of Great Britain. Nicholas Van Rensburg prophesied that this one incident or series of incidents was so grave that Yahweh will wipe England from the face of the earth during World War III. Wow. Double wow. Thinking of vacationing in Britain? This is not exactly a travelogue commercial here for Britain. Big Ben, Trafalgar Square. Well, I've seen it all. Actually, I've been to Britain a couple of times, but just passing through. The last time was to visit Andy and others. Of course, the Eurofolk crew. That resides in Britain. This is a warning that things could get very much worse. Paul and Andy and others who are still living there. Well, we know that the focal point is London and that the invasion has proceeded. Other cities in Britain are being utterly taken over and destroyed by Muslims of various races, usually black and brown. There are still habitable areas of Britain, but they're dwindling fast as it seems like the importation of non-whites into Britain, this is World War III, folks. This is World War III. It's just that the invasion has begun with people not bearing arms, but bearing diseases and violations of Yahweh's laws, etc., etc., and race mixing. Okay? The first weapon of war is deceit. There will be no more Britain, England, Scotland, Wales. Call them, Doesn't say Ireland. There will be no more Britain, England, Scotland, Wales, although I hear Ireland is just getting just as bad. Maybe not quite as bad. Call them whatever way you like. No more, no remnants, and no evidence. Gone, absent forever. Okay, so this is a death sentence from Senator Van Rensburg. And so next Sunday we'll find out if Pastor Martins agrees that this is very terminal. Okay. Now that prophecy has, of course, not yet come true, but it remains a classic example of his more straightforward prophecies. During and after World War I, Senator Van Rensburg explicitly described how there would be another such war, another one again. Okay, so we've had World War II. And another one would be World War III. We therefore speak, for convenience sake, of his references to World War II and World War III, although those were not the words he used. Now, we know that World War III has already begun. It is the European Union and the Rothschild importation of non-whites to race-mix whites out of existence, which is the beginning of World War III. That's the beginning of World War III. This is exactly how the British invaded primarily German South Africa by sending over Brits to create a counterculture against the Boer culture. And that is now your modern Afrikaner. British immigrants or emigres sent to South Africa to create a counterculture, a British counterculture, to the Boer culture. What do you think the international Jew is doing to all of our countries today? They're sending a counterculture. Be it Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, does not matter. It's counterculture for the destruction of our culture. Your readers may be interested to know that Senator Van Rensburg repeatedly said that this supposed World War III would overlap with the final struggle of the Boers in South Africa. As I just said, World War III has already begun. What's more, in certain recorded conversations, he would apparently answer a query about the beginning of one of the two wars in question with an anecdote pertaining to the omens of the other. This seems to be a clue for us to recognize that the wars will be near simultaneous, and that if we observe the harbingers of the one war, then we'll be able to safeguard ourselves against the other one. Well, let me say this with regard to the transition from World War II to World War III. The so-called Cold War was all propaganda to heighten our fears. To heighten our fears. It's fear porn. That's all it was. There's no way the Jews, who utterly controlled the Soviet Union, were going to have another war with America and possibly destroy both, because they want both. They want America's prosperity, and they wanted to maintain control of the Soviet Union. And Mandela was trained in the Soviet Union by Jews in the Soviet Union. Joe Slovo, Czechoslovakian Jew communist, was Mandela's handler. You see how history is repeating itself, folks? Okay, so then was what? Vietnam. Well, actually, we had Korea right after World War II. Another Jew war. Then the Cold War. Then Vietnam. And a series of skirmishes all over the world, really, because America's military has been used as a police force to enforce Jewish economic holdings all over the world. But as the world economy collapses because of hyperinflation, and because other nations are opting out of the Federal Reserve note, that whole system, which was created right after World War II, I think it's called the Bretton Woods Agreement, establishing the so-called U.S. dollar, that is the Federal Reserve note, Jew money, as the world currency. That system is collapsing, and as it collapses, instability, in other words, Jewish control of the world fades, and anarchy proceeds. And even the left, which the Jew has created, liberalism, which the Jew has created, has since turned against the Israeli state. So, items of unforeseen consequences, that the Jew creates these movements, and some of these movements turn against the Jews. So he continues, let's try one which has already come true. At a point in time very near to the above-mentioned prophecy about Great Britain's deliberate slaughter of Caucasian Christian women and children, Nicholas told a fellow soldier that two of his children had died in a concentration camp. Two or three, I forget. Days later, a letter arrived to that effect. Note, he never fired a shot, but he was a soldier inasmuch as he accompanied the Boer commandos throughout the War of Freedom, and again during the rebellion of the Boers against the colonial government's alliance to Great Britain during World War I. He was in frontline combat units throughout, but he never bore arms, which reminds me of the Levitical priesthood, that the Levites were dedicated to the service of Israel, and that they were not asked to bear arms either. Some have suggested that Nicholas van Rensburg was that most uncommon creature, a prophet with honor in his own country. That is not entirely untrue, because he was indeed feted by many former Boer soldiers who had witnessed his miraculous powers with their own eyes during the wars. Just as, Moses and Aaron, who were standing behind the troops raising their arms in prayer to Yahweh, which encouraged the Israelite troops to fight harder. Don't tell me there's no power in prayer, folks. Don't tell me there's no power in praying to Yahweh. We just don't do it enough. Paul tells us, pray, don't ever cease praying. Pray constantly. And the more we pray, the less tribulation we have to endure, okay? The more we pray for healing, the sooner it comes. But it is an exaggeration because, as was recorded quite extensively, those who had not witnessed his powers of prophecy firsthand refused to accept the extreme nature of the stories. And yeah, they do sound to be extreme. When I first heard this prophecy that Germany would become an ally of the Boer people once again, which was about 10 years ago, looking at the state of Germany at that time, I said, whoa, this is a pretty far out prediction. I don't see it yet. Something seriously has to occur in Germany and turn Germany around before this can happen. But it really looks like it is happening. So, we're running out of time. This is very interesting stuff, and we'll get Pastor Martin's perspective on these things next Sunday. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. You have been listening to the Voice of Christian Israel here at Eurofolk Radio. See you next time.